My name is Leo Finucane from Myvan in County Kerry.
And Leo, did you grow up here in Myvan?
I did, yeah. I grew up on a farm.
What was that like?
It was absolutely brilliant at the time. It was back in 1951, 52 when I was born. And I grew up there milking cows and bringing home the turf and winding the hay and doing all the things that a young fellow would have done at the time on the farm. And I went to school in Clonmacken National School then. And that's about the size of that, you know, that's as far as I got then. At that time, the Morris Minor, the Angley, was the popular car in the late 50s. And going to the creamery was the donkeying car, and the horsing car was a step up for the bigger farmer. Now, we wouldn't be very big farmers. We might have 30 cows, which would be all right, average enough, like, but there was people who had 60 cows and they'd be considered fierce big farmers, and they started getting into the tractor, and we had still the horse going to the creamery, like, you know, and the donkey was going to the creamery, and then after a bit, of course, we had to climb up onto a tractor and put that on every day, like, for going to the creamery. We used that, and we used it for mowing the hay, and it was a complete changeover from the horse. But in fact, there was an occasion there when I was going to the creamery in Coolaclarig. That's where John Lynch was the creamery manager at the time. Coolaclarig is about 3 miles out from Listowel or four. And one particular day, I see a horse actually inside in the field, and the horse was looking out at that particular farmer that was leaving the yard with his new tractor, and the horse was just looking at him with the tanks inside in his car. When I say his car, I mean the horse's car was converted to a trailer for the tractor, and the tanks were inside, the same tanks, the same horse's car that was used onto the horse. And I'm sure the horse could be saying to himself, what is happening? I'm out of a job.
I'm retiring now.
Yes, that's about it. Mm-hmm.
So you say there that when you went to the creamery, you met John Lynch himself. How old were you when you first met John?
I would be only about 18. Yeah, I'd be only about 18. That's all I was. 17, 18, yeah, correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was it that you knew of John's background, that he was into filmmaking and you had a bit of an interest? Or
What happened was, we were suppliers to Newtown Sands Co-op at the time, Myvan Creamery. And the creamery kind of, we got a choice kind of to go to join Listowel if we wanted to. You know, other farmers went to other creameries. And it was a shot to run for us too. It was near. And that's when I met John Lynch first. And I can just recall John with the camera, the Warwick, I think it was. And he was filming people that had new tractors and the horses and coming up the range towards the stand where he was manager. And they're taking in the milk off the cars onto the stand and throwing it into the way we used to call it. It was a container that was inside that would weigh your milk. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I started to get to know John Lynch then, because of that. And I had an interest in what he was doing as well.
I'd imagine it was very unusual to see someone, what you thought were just regular jobs, your chores throughout the day, to see someone filming that and thinking, why would you bother filming something like that?
Well, there were some farmers and they would just walk away. They wouldn't show their face. They'd be like that, you know. And the other farmers didn't know what was going on. But I knew what was going on, and I suppose I'd like to be a part of it. And I'm sure he got a clip of me as well coming in with my horse at the time. The horse and cart at the time, but then the tractor came the way maybe a year after, and that was it, you know.
So from meeting John that first time to where you are to today, tell me about what happened there.
Well, I kept in contact with John Lynch, and I was going to his house, and I told him one day that I was going to England. That was 1978. I was going to England, and I was going to bring home a movie camera. Now, John's was a 16mm without sound at the time, but I decided that if I could get a camera with sound, it would be a great advantage at the time, like in 78. So I happened to be in London in my holidays, and I took over the car with me, and the next thing I see this camera, Shannon, on this, just displayed on the window. It was a camera shop, Dixon's, I think. I'm not sure. No, I think it was Dixon's. I went in anyway, and he told me all about it, and he told me he'd give me a good reduction and this and that, because it was on display, and he had, that's the only one he'd kind of left. At the time, he said they were slow to sell because they were costing £600 at him, which was a lot of money. But it had sound, and it had the 15-minute spool that you could put in instead of the 3.5-minute spool, which was very handy because you could keep filming there for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And which is a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, 15 minutes is a long time when you're filming, because you have to set up the scenes, you have to stop, and you're sparing the film again, and there wouldn't be many takes, I can tell you that, because that time, as far as I know, the films that time was costing about £5 to... You'd send them off then to England to get them developed. Kodak, I think, was the company, if I'm not mistaken. And sometimes you post them off, they get lost in the post, and that particular part of the film then that you'd be making, or if it was a documentary you'd be getting ready, it didn't come back, because the very minute it would arrive by post, it was straight in and on the projector straight away to see did it come out clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it did, then you were right. Most of the time it did come out clear because the camera was brilliant. But it had sound. And I decided then to make a film called Got the Glanna. And I made that in 1978. And believe me, I had no instruction book. Because when I bought the camera, I was leaving England, and of course I was going for the boat, and when I arrived at the boat in England, I found that there was fierce security. It was 78, you see, and that time the Irish, I suppose, was targeted, and we had to watch our step with bringing stuff in, and some fellow was coming down along the line. He just said to me, he said, if you have any valuable belongings or any stuff you want over, you better get rid of them as quick as possible, because they take him from you, he says. So I, with the fright, I just took the camera out of the case it was in. And I went under the car, and I tied it with tape onto the crown and pin of the back axle of the car. Mm-hmm. My lads were too young, so the car wouldn't go on down with weight. So I tied it around it anyway. I just thought that he tied it around it. And when we got to the actual customs place, he taught us to come out of the car, and he checked along the seats inside and under the seats and things. He found the case. Of course, we should have taken out the case with us, but we didn't. And they took the case, and they took the manual for the camera. Now, believe me, if they had looked under the car, they would have taken the camera, and I'd be probably prosecuted, I don't know. But anyway, I arrived home with the camera. I was a lucky man. Mm. I arrived home with the camera, but no manual. And I went filming 4 months after. And I had no tripod, because I didn't know about the tripod, and I didn't know what the tripod. But the only thing, the camera, I kept it steady, you know.
Yeah.
I remember I had a chair, high chair, and I used to keep it on the chair for a lot of the work I did. So, but anyway, I must say, I only thrown it together, got the glad. I only thrown it together because I knew nothing better, and I had no instructions then how to use the camera. I only took my chances that it was all right. It was okay. The sound was good enough. It could do with... it could do with being more studier. And but anyway,
that was out of your control at the time.
It was out of my control, because when you were trying to set up a scene in 1921 and having Welsh Lyons Dalton and Condy in front of you, these were people that acted their part, and a firing squad then with four fellas with rifles ready, aim and fire. You know, it gave you very little time. You had to do the whole lot, like you had to get everything sorted in such a way that the whole lot would time in together. But that was my first film. But after that, then I got a tripod and I studied up. I got experience then how to use the camera right.
And what kind of movies did you make after that, or films, should I say, after you got the tripod?
The first film that I made there was Got the Glenna, we spoke of that before. And the second one I made was called Nightmare. It was a horror film, believe it or not, direct after that. However, I made a horror film. I can't figure it out. Now, Billy Dunnigan, that's a presenter on Radio Kerry there every Sunday. And Billy actually, himself and Pat, his brother Pat, actually filmed...
I thought you were going to say they were staring in it.
No, actually, no. Billy would be a great cameraman as well, and a great writer, of course, as well, I must say. But it was a horror film anyway, and it took us about 2 months or 3 months to make. Now, the strange thing about that is it was the only film that I never showed yet. And tis on film, made by on Super 8, of course.
Okay.
And now, the next one after that then, the next film after that was the Colleen Bawn. Now, Billy Dunnigan and Pat was involved in that as well, and Billy set up a lot of the scenes back in Ballyduff. And there was a lot of work in that, because it was a film, 1819. It was based on a 16-year-old girl who was murdered in a boat crossing the Shannon between Glen and Money Point in County Clare. The next one I made then, or the next film I made then, was the My Van Knockanool film. Now, that was, what we did was reconstructed over 100 years back. We went back in time and we brought everything to life one Sunday from around 11 o'clock until 6 o'clock that evening. We had, I'd say, well into 500 people at the fair. Now, when we went at it, we had the fight at the fair. The guard had to break up the fight over a horse. We had the three-card trick. We had the selling of the pig, and you know, we had a cattle there, and we had, you know, it was like a real fair. And we had some of the buildings kind of turned a bit, you know, different, and there was great interest in that particular film. Now, the next one then I made after that would be a tribute to Dan Keane. Dan Keane was a poet. He was a writer and poet, and he was well known all over Kerry for his work. It was about just... Dan was involved in storytelling and all that, and I did make a... It was a tribute to Dan Keane, a kind of a documentary on his life. Now, the next one I made then would be a documentary on... it's called Father and Son, on my uncle. He was the TD for North Kerry, and he was responsible for the brick and cash and drainage scheme in the 1950s, the early 50s. And his son also, Mick Finucane, it's a documentary about the two of them. And the other one I made then after that would be Rolling Back the Years. Now, Rolling Back the Years is a story about where I went to school in Clonmacin, and it was in 1962, and 12 young children took our place and acted our part. We went back to 1961, and we used the same school. We turned the school into the exact same classroom. I bought the seats back, and looking off the blackboard that was used in our classroom, my uncle had it in his house because they were clearing out the school, and he took it because it was big and with the stand and all. And we used that blackboard, and it was like bringing the whole thing back to when we went to school, we had the children then going the Black Ditch. That was in the morning. It was they used to go winter and summer on the Black Ditch without shoes. Mm. And it was rough going, and they were getting wet. And there was one teacher in particular that didn't treat us very good, I must say, and actually drove us nearly away from the school. Mm. Because he could not believe that we had to milk 5 or 6 cows before we left the house, and we got drowned wet, and we were probably late for school, and we got 6 laps and probably stood for an hour. You know, that was the carry-on with him at the time. And they didn't give us much leeway anyway. You know, and if you were bright, maybe all right, there was a lot out of you, but if you were slow like me, you were put behind at the back of the class and you were left there.
Did you find it very hard to film that?
No, I was delighted to have the opportunity, and believe me, it went down well with a novelty of people and with our class of 12, and they were all living in different parts of the world, I suppose. They all came home for it. Mm. And their families appreciated what was done, because they didn't believe like what we went through going to school. Now, I'm not saying all the there was one teacher in particular that was... he was a bit hard on us, too hard on us though, and it was a pity, because when I came to 6th class, that was then to me in school. Mm. I never again went back to any school after that. I worked at home on the farm, and I went to England when I was 19. Now I will go back to the next film we made would be Hard Times 1. Now we were going up we had this was no longer the Super 8. This was going in out to the bigger stuff and the more professional stuff. Mm. And we were bringing in cameramen to do this work. Now, lucky enough, I applied for funding, and I was turned down by funding, or for the funding. And lucky enough, Kate Kennelly of the Arts Council, she gave me 500. The 300 the first year, sorry, and with sponsorship from the likes of Newtown Sands Co-op and Paddy Wolfe in Adhead, he's a builder, and these people, they gave me a couple of hundred each, and that paid, the way to make the film, because you can't really make a film, you know, people, you must have tea for the people, you must have, you know, you must look after the actors anyway, at least, and that's what, that was my thing, to look after everyone. And if you made a phone call to them people, they were back again straight away, because, you know, they love
could,
working.
They could rely on you then?
They could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because transport, and, you know, they had to... But anyway, Hard Times was a story I wrote myself about a servant girl. She was living in West Kerry. She came to IT in County Limerick, which is in the next parish, and she was looking for a husband, but... She see Hard Times before she met her husband in that particular house. Now, it was my own. I wrote the script myself. It's about an hour and a half long. And that was the first film. And that took off like a rocket, because at the time, you had nothing like that on DVD. It was video at that time, sorry. Video at that time. And like everyone in the country... They sold in Australia, they sold all over the world. And then the next one I made was the part two of, it was the sequel, when the husband, Neil and Jim, they were known as, she decided she had a course, that's right, she brought a course from the West to Kerry with her. And they were trying to buy this farm that was next door. And they put in a bid. Now, the day of the auction of the farm, we had about 300 people at the auction. We had Jimmy Dean and we had Dick Spring. We had politicians, and they were trying in a bid. And we had councillors as well. And, you know, it was a big turnout. Mm-hmm. We had it above a knock and over in a field. Mm-hmm. And but unfortunately... That particular woman and her so-called husband didn't, they hadn't enough money, and they lost the sale of it, so she put a curse on the farm. And in the third din, which was a bad job to make Hard Times 3, because you were killing off the actors, and we made Hard Times 3, and we had a church, and she was ran from the church door when she came by the parish priest, because she was after putting a curse on the parish and on the field, and people knew about her and didn't want her, so she was told go back home. Okay. And that finished the Hard Times 3 then. The next film then was 7 Days Trial. That was actually 7 Days Trial was about Yanks that came home to Ireland, and they were set up by the next door neighbour, because the next door neighbour was jealous of the piece of land, and he tried to get the piece of land while they were away, and he tried to claim it, but that didn't happen, because when the Yank came home with his family, he got... The Yank was played by a man in Dublin that died there actually only about 6 months ago, and he performed in the Abbey.
What was his name?
Larry Burke was his name. He performed in the Abbey for nearly 20 years, and he phoned me one day, and he just see something on the paper about looking for actors. And he himself and his wife, they were two lovely people. They said to me they only wanted to come down to Kerry for a holiday, for a week, and he'd do it free of charge. And I wouldn't have it that way, because I got accommodation and all here for him. And they stayed a week, and he absolutely enjoyed it. And he was well able to put on the accent. But the only thing, he never drove a motor car. And cars were only coming in at that time. He used to call it the motor than car, we had a stuntman then driving the car, and it looked like that he was driving it. It worked out perfect, and his wife then she helped here in the set with the makeup, and we had a girl from Northern Ireland doing the makeup. Now that film, that was a lot of that was a big cast in that, and I did that especially for the film festivals and things like that, but I never bothered entering them after. I didn't enter that film in the film festival. But anyway, now the next one was Tygeen's Farewell. By the way, the Yanks are here. That was an hour and a half. That was a full-length feature as well. And Tygeen's Farewell was a full-length feature. It was a story set in Kerry in the 1950s of an old man called Tygeen, and his son conspired to take his own, to fake his own funeral to get the insurance money. But plans went mighty wrong.
I can only imagine.
And Frances Kennedy was a part of that.
Ah, no better woman.
Billy Keane was also in it, John B's son. And that was a brilliant film as well. Like, that took off like a rocket as well, that film. And I did several of the vintage as well. The vintage was held here. The Knockanore vintage was held here for about 4 or 5 years. So, and I also filmed the Knockanore vintage as well. That was also held in Knockanore, but I was able to film it here as well as Knockanore, and I filmed that for 10 years, and I used to also have that for sale as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Leo, out of all the films that you've made over the years, what was the one that really stuck to you and still makes you laugh or maybe sad or whatever?
Well, if I ever turn them on there, you know, I turn them on for a few minutes and I said, I'm not going to sit down now for an hour and a half, but I do. And I laugh because some of them actors are gone. Mm. And it is very sad, like, to know that it was good times, because how lucky I was to have all the props, because I was reared on the family with the on the farm with the donkey and cat, the horse and car, the raker, the swat turner, the slide for the hay, the potato digger. I was lucky that I had all the props, because it would be impossible to get them.
Or if you had to get them, it'd be pretty penny.
Well, to get them in working order was number one, because some of the films there, like, what I did was, we'll say, any film that I made in connection with farming in the 50s, 60s, that's the year I went back to, I had the horse pulling the hay tonner, the swat tonner at the time. I had the horse pulling the hay car, and you could see then the wine of hay being winched into the hay car and being brought to the haggard to save for the year, for the cattle for the year. Like, I brought in all that, the cutting of the turf. We're having a film reunion. Now, anyone that took part as an extra or anything in any one of the films, we are having a film reunion in the Literary Centre in the Square in Listowel on Friday night, the 11th of October. It's a good bit off yet, at 8 o'clock.
Brilliant. Well, we'll definitely put that out on air if anyone wants to go, and we'll put a bit of a reminder as well, maybe a few weeks beforehand as well. Leo, before I let you go, the one thing I really want to ask is, if you were to give one piece of advice to anyone, what would it be?
Stay away from filming. It is absolutely a nightmare. If you had nothing else to do, it's fine. But for me, that was working every day, and I used to make up the films, I used to build the sets on my own at night, 6 nights, to have them ready for Saturday myself, and have it all ready for Saturday. But I spent 6 nights working till 2 o'clock in the morning. But keep away from it.